The Holy Gospel is taken from the 10th chapter of Mark. Some Pharisees came to test Jesus, and they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, you know, when you go to a text study and these, with pastors, and we're trying to figure this out, all the pastors are very pastoral. And my question was, maybe we should talk to some people who are divorced. Maybe they might have some insights. So I've got some insights from someone who's been divorced, which I think is not bad. So we'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to kind of review how things are scripturally and how things are in the world now. So we have this Genesis text, and it's the wonderful naming text. And being an only child, I understand Adam's position right here, that he even though there's wonderful animals, and I saw the wonderful animals today, there's something missing. And that's this. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." And there's all kinds of interesting textual things and translation things, but the thing that got me this time around that I heard that reading was being an only child. I always wanted a sibling. I always wanted somebody else besides my dog, Tipsy, who I loved very much and slept with me every night. You know, so I had a partner, but to have a human partner, a sibling, you know, and then seeing siblings as I was growing up, you know, sometimes I thought, well, only child is pretty good. But, you know, it still seemed like the siblings was a good deal. So here, right in the beginning of Scripture, we have this partnership between man and woman. And so that comes up. Now, we're just as a reminder, these partners are God imaged, God blessed, God inspired creatures. You know, Hebrews says we're just a little lower than angels. And that's the Psalm says that too. "Yet you have made them little less than divine." We've got the spark of divine in us. So I had the image I thought of is, well, we're like hooks. Now, you know, hooks are very useful. It's a useful thing. But if you notice the one way that people talk about humans sometimes is that we have a tendency to curve in to ourselves as individuals, as persons. Hooks are a good thing, created in the image of God. It's a great thing, but we have tendencies, and at least in your life and my life, I know what those tendencies are, towards the self, towards things that aren't the right things. You might call that sin. But, you know, we have a tendency to look inward. And so, well, you know, all of these hooks are lying around trying to figure out how to do it. And then in that first passage in Genesis, there's that partnership description. So this is where my divorce friend comes in handy. He said, because I asked him, well, what's a good partnership? Because here's the deal with partnership. And I'm using partnership instead of marriage intentionally, because in the state of Washington, we have anybody can marry anybody. You know, a male, male, female, 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 male, Did I get that all? Yeah. And those are all partnerships. And when you have a partnership, that's our state law. In the Genesis account, and in fact when Jesus and the Pharisees were talking, they were referring to, you can look it up, Deuteronomy 24:1. That's the text where Moses, or the writer of Deuteronomy, they thought, suggested that that's where it talks about divorce. A man can divorce a woman for anything, it turns out. And if you read all of the Jewish commentaries that come after Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah, there are commentaries later that are before Jesus' time and around Jesus' time, and all those commentaries talk about how a man, because a woman is the property of a man, that's just biblical, that's just Old Testament biblical, that's how it worked then. A man could basically do whatever with his wife. Now, it wasn't as simple as that, because when people got married, they were usually arranged marriages, and they were marriages of families. It wasn't about the individuals, it was about families. So when you were going to divorce somebody, when you were going to divorce that woman, you're divorcing really the head of the family of that woman, which was usually her father. So, I mean, it's... just like now, in divorce, if you experienced it, I experienced my parents' divorce when I was 6, so I'm a child of divorce. But and I've seen, you know, the stats say 50%, that's not the number. It's more like 40 or close to 40. So, you know, 2 out of 5 instead of half of people in our society get divorced eventually. But, you know, it's a broken, horrible business. You know, whether it was in the time of Genesis and after, and in the time of Moses, or in the time of Jesus, it's broken. It's brokenness. But, so I asked my divorced friend, what is a good partnership look like? And he said it's like a bungee cord. This is a good partnership. So you've got the hooks, remember the hooks? But we're now connected. And that's that image that Jesus provides, you know, that, and that the Old Testament talks about, the Genesis. When two people come together, there's a connection and there's an elasticity. Now, with bungee cords, you can, you know, you can decide. Well, first of all, they should come with a warning label. All partnerships should come with a warning label. That's. That's it. The number one, good luck. Number two, be nice to your partner. You know, that's probably, we'll keep this intact. But so, you know, bungee cords are good for, you know, let's say you have a chill. I'll represent more than one child because I weigh more than one child for sure. But let's say I'm 2 or 3 children. You know, bungee cords, you use those hooks in the right way and in partnership, they can surround things, wrap things up, keep things secure. But sometimes when one end of a bungee cord sees another end, another partner, sometimes those things hook up, maybe in the way that they shouldn't. And so suddenly things are pulling in a direction. We'll make sure nobody, I don't snap this, but suddenly that nature of the bungee cord becomes something different. Now, you can use this. This works. But in the end, I mean, we all know it doesn't work. It doesn't work when one end is someplace else. So that's another part when we're talking about adultery, which that's what Jesus was talking about. I mean, the example is a man and a woman, and a man goes to a different woman. That is the strict definition of adultery. Nothing about women. So again, when we're talking about divorce in the time of Genesis and in the time of Exodus and even in the time of Jesus, it's not the understanding we have of divorce now. No fault divorce where women can apply for. In our country, in our world, in our state, women have equal voice and equal abilities to get divorced. So, the elasticity. Well, you know, we're almost 28 years in, December 19th, so I remember that date. Always a good thing to remember as a partner. And, you know, over time, these things can wear out, and pretty soon there is no more elasticity. You're still together, but after 50 or 60 or 70 years, you know, that's normal. That's wearing down. But then there are times... Thank you. There are times when it doesn't work out. And this partnership, however it began as a glorious, unifying, wonderful thing, there are times where it just gets frayed, and it gets frayed, and it gets frayed, and it's done. It's done. And we all know this. Because either maybe if you haven't been divorced, or if you're not a child of divorce like me, you know a family member or a good friend who has experienced this. My best friend, which I would... Before I was married, I thought partnerships, marriage was a good idea, but I really thought friendship was superior to partnership. Now I think friendship and partnership are the same, because I have my best friend is like a brother to me, and I value that as much as I value my relationship with Beth, because the nature is different, obviously. But I've learned through growing with Beth and struggling with Beth and living with Beth that this partnership is a great, great thing. And we can do wonderful things. And if you get with other partners, you can extend the circle. And now, you may not believe it on my body, but there's actually room for more people in here. And that's what community is. All of us who are here gathered today, we're trying to create a bigger partnership amongst us together to reach out. Well, so back to this story. The Pharisees come to test him. So they're testing Jesus, and they had before, and Jesus has answered them, and he answers them again, and they do some verbal sparring here. And then in this verse 30, always with the disciples. Then in the house, the disciples ask him again about this matter. Well, in the Gospel of Mark, every time the disciples ask him something, they look pretty stupid. Or Jesus says something that's just like, what are you talking about, Jesus? And so that's when he said, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. He's raising the bar. In Deuteronomy 24:1, you can get divorce and write a certificate of dismissal. Jesus is saying, no, you can't. In fact, if you do, it's even more horrible. So don't. But Jesus also knows that this happens. Jesus knows our sin. Jesus knows, because he was human like us, he knows we are born in the image of God, but we have these tendencies. In the Christian church, we call that sin. And all of us, Jesus says, and all these sayings, when Jesus is saying forgive, how many times should you forgive? He says forgive 7 times 70 times. That's 490 times. That's a lot of forgiveness. Be perfect as my Father is perfect. I try and be perfect, but I have a tendency. And so this is where I think Jesus is very cool, and I think this is why this piece is here. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. Don't bring those children here. We don't have time for children. The master has stuff. He has got to talk about divorce, and he's got to talk about all these fancy things. We don't have time for kids. And if they have their animals, we don't want them either. No, that, we do. Let me just make that clear. We do. Beth and I do. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant he was angry. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." And then, that's not bad. But then, this is the key, I think, to everything. Now when Jesus says, "Truly I tell you," it's time to listen. "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Now, you know, I'm 50, so I'm in theory halfway done. I'm probably 2/3. I don't know. Who knows? God only knows that. But, you know, I've gone a ways in life. And as I get older, you know, you realize you know way less than you thought you did when you were younger. But you know some other things. And one of the things are, I wish I was a kid again. Don't you sometimes think that? Don't you want to be a kid up here today and bring in those little tiny turtles or tortoises? I can't remember what they were. Or I missed the gecko, and I had a lot of dogs today. I love dogs. Wouldn't it be fun to be a child again? And here's what Jesus did. He took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. I think in that move, what Jesus did was made children a sacrament. That's what sacraments are. They're simple, God-infused items that bring God's grace to the world. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Sacraments. Children. He said, "Come. Let the children come." And we're all children. All of us. I'm a child of God. Nancy's a child of God. If you have a name tag on, you're a child of God. If you don't have a name tag on like me, hey, you're still a child of God. Everyone here is a child of God. Because you are all made in God's image. We are siblings. All of us. And today we're gathered, unlike Adam who had nobody, we have all of each other right now in this place. It doesn't stop the fact that brokenness happens. Divorce happens. Other things happen in our lives. That's a reality as well. But the trumping reality, the reality of all, is that we are all siblings of God. And we can only come by grace. And that song that the choir sang, "Grace, grace, God's grace." And I can't remember the rest of the words. Dang, I need my music. But it goes like this. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Now by God's grace we come. And so, my siblings, my sisters and brothers, everyone who looks like this, all of you are welcome to God's grace and to God's table as we come now before God. Amen.